Hello, everyone. It is me, John Graham, and I am the producer of Sports Chat with my two hosts, Jacob Rettmiller and Matthew Kleinenberger.
Hello out there, world.
Yeah. How's it going? How's it going? You know, sports world is kind of grabbing back, coming back. Yeah. So,
quite so.
Yeah, very slowly the sports world and the real world seemingly gets crazier by the day, so let's just stay in the sports realm. That's my mentality.
As a matter of fact, John, we still got our listeners to see if they could get a chance to win that golden ticket, because we still have some of these being that to include challenges for them. But in order to get it, they had to write down their first impression guess. If their first impression guess is correct, they get a point towards winning the golden ticket. But if they get it wrong, they may not be eligible for the golden ticket. And I think our first one will be this one, Matthew. And the clue is for them: when the working day's done, this tune rocks. And their three clues I'm giving them are Bedrock. And their second clue, it's a cartoon. And their mega clue, Pebbles and Bam Bam is their mega clue.
Oh.
I mean, yeah. That's for our listeners to figure out, not you guys, you know.
Oh, okay.
Well, somebody got a free point.
Well, that's okay. I could just edit out my answer, so.
True. Yeah. Benefits of not being live.
So, yeah, that is very, very, very true. But hey, we have a special announcement to make. So, this fall, obviously, Matt and I and Jake will be on different various stations. For one, I also have to shout out 1380 The Fan. Matthew and I will be presumably doing the halftime show, and also he'll be producing high school football games throughout the season. We'll do that here at our lovely location. And then lastly, for those of you who are interested in a sports chat and kind of grew up on Jake's Picks and Sunday Remix, well, we are kind of bringing back Sunday Remix, but just with this point, we're going to do live NFL games streaming on the Spectrum 239 with Jake and Matt. So Matt has said that he will join us when he can. So it's obviously not going to be, you know, a priority because work is a priority, but when he can, he'll join us.
Yeah, hopefully as much as possible.
Yes, yes.
Quite so, but I just got worried about our four-wing tank guys, man. You know, reason to go, they just won against the Love. That's three wins in a row they got.
Yeah, and they're certainly playing well. Six of the last seven postponed last night, doubleheader today. Hopefully they can win three more before the break here against a team that is certainly struggled this season, but the Tin Caps have played well, a couple of close wins the last couple of nights, and now can you build on it is always the question. It's one thing to win, it's another thing to keep it going.
Because the question is, will the real Tin Caps can have a chance to make a comeback, because they're in the bottom area to being in the playoffs, even though we have the top teams who probably could be in the playoffs right now. Obviously, the Cedar Rapids are probably automatically in with the most wins, and they were undefeated at the beginning of their season.
Well, and it's come up, you know, a couple times on broadcast. You don't know. I mean, I think a lot of it really just does depend on who gets called up after the MLB All-Star break, who stays in Fort Wayne, and if they can keep a large part of their team, which in a weird way, you kind of hope that they don't, because these players want to go up and take their careers to the next level. But that continuity that you could still have in Fort Wayne could be important coming out of this break here. And if they can keep it going, then, hey, you just never know. It's the benefit of the minor leagues. Now you have the second half, and they could very well get themselves right back in the conversation. They've gotten off to a good start to the second half of the year.
Right, you are there. But not only the Lugnuts and Tangas have a doubleheader game, I also heard Great Lake Loons and the Quad City Riverbands are also doing a double-headed game as well today.
It's not surprising. There was a lot of rain throughout the area last night. I'm assuming that there will be at least a handful of double-headers throughout the minor and major leagues this afternoon. But never really got too torrential, that rainfall last night. But apparently it was just enough for it to be deemed unplayable. So doubleheaders today in several different locations.
Well, bad with me because you said a couple of them, but it's only I got three doubleheaded games that are happening today. Two of them in the Midwest. The other one is probably in somewhere in the northwest part of the leagues that they're in. And that team is Jerry Shore's Blue Claws taking on a some sort of random team called the Adrian D. Jets.
Yeah, don't know too much about those two squads, but like I said, there's a lot of rain. I don't know if they're in our area specifically. Geography was never my strong suit. However, if maybe even they aren't, but regardless, two games there, most likely seven innings apiece there.
Yeah, so that will make a grand total of 14 innings that they're going to be doing in two game in the doublehead game. I remember that when I was at my uncle Brian when I was at Brian Bradman's softball game at Krieger Park years ago.
Yeah, I was out at Krieger Park last night as well, doing a little bit of filming. Very nice night after it got done raining.
Quite so, but even though we also got bigger reports, I got word that the Lake County Cactus have broke the winning matchups between the Dayton Dragons because they both have the same amount of wins and losses yesterday, and now the Cactus have broke it now.
Dayton is just going in the complete wrong direction right now. I'm not sure if it's a case where they've had players get called up, but they were playing brilliant baseball really that much of the first half. They stumbled and they wind up not getting that first half playoff bid, and their struggles really have continued into the second half, and now all of a sudden they're a team that looks a bit vulnerable. And Lake County, who was just in Fort Wayne, split a six-game set last week, now perhaps taking advantage of that vulnerability there against the Dragons.
Even so that, because we do know that the teams will have a four-day off next week, probably because of the All-Star MLB baseball season that is coming up next week.
Indeed, and speaking of which, Robert Hassel III, the Tin Cap, becomes the first active Tin Cap to be called up to the MLB Futures game out there in Los Angeles. No word yet, rumors swirling on whether or not he will be called up after that to go play at AA San Antonio in the San Diego system. However, if he does stay in Fort Wayne, that'd be a big boost for the Tin Caps, but a congratulations to him making a little bit of Tin Cap history.
Quite so. Even though right now, the other competition we have coming up tonight is we got the South Bend Cubs. They're still down in Imperial, Illinois, taking on the Chiefs at Dozier Park. And the Cedar Rapids Colonels, they're probably going to give those Beloit Skycraft a beating again.
Well, Cedar Rapids is coming off of a great season last year. They've been playing well, as I understand it, this year. We'll certainly see how South Bend does. It's been very competitive in the West Division of the Midwest League, and South Bend trying to keep pace over there as they just are in the West Division, Tin Caps in the East.
Even so, I would say so to me. For my guesses, to the team who I think should win the playoffs, I think it could be Cedar Rapids that could win.
Yeah, well, and they've been the class, really, of the Midwest League so far this season. We hope that the Tin Caps can make a run. Great Lakes will have something to say about it as they clinched that first half East Division spot. We'll see if Dayton can pull it back together, but right now it looks as though it will be a team certainly from the West who probably will take that spot. But the other thing is, oftentimes in sports, when you come through a really tough conference or really tough division, sometimes that works to your detriment when you get into postseason play, as you've been a little bit sort of worn down, so to speak. But the other side to it is, are you battle tested or are you worn down? Ultimately, time will tell. Some of those West Division teams get into the playoffs.
Quite even so, but with all of that, I do believe that the Chicago Cubs, they were supposed to play yesterday against New York Mets, but they had to do a double baseball game this afternoon and probably tonight that they're going to be doing it.
Yeah. The Cubs got postponed early last night, because they really got stormed out.
Yeah, well, as a lifelong Cubs fan, the way the Cubs have been playing this season, that may be mercy for their fans to not play yesterday. But double go today. I don't know if that's at Wrigley or not. I'm assuming probably it is.
It is.
It's a Wrigley Field. So doubleheader baseball for those of the friendly confines. Go to Wrigleyville, get yourself a hot dog, and then watch two games. And then, needless to say, there's a couple things to do in downtown Chicago in the evening. So go have yourself a little bit of fun responsibly, though, and enjoy one of the top stadium experiences that there is anywhere in the world there at Wrigley Field. Just you may not enjoy too much the on-field product this year.
But speaking of which, of Chicago, I heard the councilman here in Indiana has just decided on something, that they're going to be working on getting the train transportation to be back in business again. That's all over the news just this morning, that even though the government, we know, has reclaimed the land to the railways and other companies that they reclaim, that we know.
Well, I don't know if that's in reference to Amtrak, but I'm an Amtrak guy now. I will not drive much. I love to drive, but I do not do highways. I do not do having to search for parking. Amtrak is the, I can't promote it because we don't have a sponsorship, but at any rate, public transit is the way to go. I know people just want to, you know, dog on public transit, but I'm telling you right now, if you're coming from Fort Wayne, you can drive about 30 minutes north of here to Waterloo and then take a train right into downtown Chicago at Union Station. Definitely would recommend.
Because that's where I heard the trains are going to be starting from Chicago, Illinois, all the way to Columbus, Ohio, that they're going to be reclaiming now.
Now, that Waterloo station, because I actually kind of am considering going to a Cubs game maybe in August, but that's a one-day round trip, right?
No, so it can be as many as you want, like as many days. We did a two-day back in May. We did, I think, a four-day back in December. So it's really kind of like when you go on an airplane, like you can like select your trip back. But of course, there's only, you know, so many. But as long as you plan it out in advance, yeah, absolutely, you can do that.
Okay.
Even so that, but with other baseball games, we also happening right now for the MLB. Chicago White Sox are up in Minnesota taking on the Minnesota City Twins, while Barry Ely's team, the Cincinnati Reds, are down in St. Louis, Missouri, where David Schultz's team, the St. Louis Cardinals, are playing today.
Yeah, they're the Great American Ballpark, if it's in Cincinnati. A lot of talk about perhaps the Reds being sold. Some people even maybe suggesting a move might be imminent. That team is a terrible baseball team for the last several years, and so I'm sure that it can't really get much worse for them, but St. Louis very much in it right now, from what I last checked. But yeah, look for that one to maybe be a good game, hopefully. But Great American Ballpark, I've always heard good things about. I just don't think that there's much positive coming from the Reds at the moment.
Even so, I have been to the Chicago Cubs, that's the name, just once, for them taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates on the day when my brother Daniel Bradbury went on a mission trip for his high school youth group to a national youth gathering trip in San Antonio, Texas, that he went to.
Yeah, well, first off, it's very admirable work for your brother there, and we appreciate that. But yeah, and the ironic thing being that's where the AA affiliate team of the San Diego Padres system is, and like we said, we'll see if perhaps in a week or so's time that maybe a few tin caps are sent up there. We've had a few tin caps called up this season there in San Antonio, perhaps more on the way. You would think more would be on the way. It's just a matter of really when rather than if.
Even so, the San Diego Padres, Bill, they're playing a home game later tonight as they're taking on a team from all the way from Arizona, the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Well, San Diego needs to start pulling things together. They can't afford what they did last year, to have another late season slide that ultimately leads to them missing out on the playoffs. They've made a managerial change, but they need to find a way to get in with the talent they have. I know Fernando Tatis Jr., is still working his way back from injury. The former tin cap, however, they have the talent to still go to the playoffs, and they've not been playing well recently. They need to perhaps put something together before the All-Star break and then make a run after it.
Not only that, but I took up where we have two hot competitional matches that are happening later tonight. One, obviously, well, a rivalry matchup between Caden Gorenstein, the Boston Red Sox, taking on Babe Ruth's baseball team that he competed for, and Lou Gehrig's team, the New York Yankees.
Well, you mentioned Babe Ruth. I mean, that's really the sort of – that's the genesis of this rivalry right there, that he used to play for Boston, and then Boston rather inexplicably traded or more or less sold him to New York. And he put a curse on them and said that you'll never win. I don't know if he ever said a World Series again or if he put a timeline on it. And it was over 80 years for the Red Sox to win a World Series. All the while, the Bronx Bombers were doing that basically every single year, especially with Babe Ruth. So he's at really the heart of this rivalry, having played for both. Not oftentimes some of the best rivalries that you can say that you've played for both teams. You know, whether it's Bears, Packers, Duke, North Carolina. Doesn't happen very often, but yet one of the greatest athletes that this country has ever produced, Tim Babe Ruth, has the history of having done that, which is very unique.
Even so, he's not the only one who's been playing for the New York Yankees. Lou Gehrig, who's from New York City, he also played for the New York Yankees years ago, too.
Well, the Iron Horse, Lou Gehrig, certainly one of the all-time greats. You know, learned about him in school, and obviously his battle with ALS, and how that ultimately, you know, changed so much. And his story changed so much, but yeah, you know, you think of Babe Ruth, you think of Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, Mariano Rivera, so many. But don't overlook Boston. I mean, they've had such a great history as well. You know, Curt Schilling, Pedro Martinez, David Ortiz as well, Manny Ramirez. But unfortunately, they just don't have the same success. However, really, in the last decade or so, they may have even eclipsed the amount of success that the Yankees have had, but not this year. Even though, you know, Boston still could make a run this year, right now I just don't think anybody stops the Yankees in a 7-game series.
Even so, because even though I do remember that there used to be three players from the Boston Red Sox who were also in one of the episodes of Arthur for a game for being as the members of Elwood City's baseball team, the Elwood Greaves.
Well, yeah, for sure, and that doesn't surprise me because you see it then, you see it now. These athletes are, you know, pop culture icons, and you know they'll make appearances, and you know you may even see some appear on, you know, Saturday Night Live or on a TV show, you know, that's maybe a scripted, recorded, whatever, or that maybe do something else outside of it. You know, that is such a big thing now, and I think the lines are being blurred in terms of, you know, what you're limited to in sports. You know, you see all these guys taking up boxing now, which is apparently the thing. Thank you, Jake Paul, for that, apparently. But, you know, we're seeing that more now, and we're seeing now these guys pushing the boundaries of what an athlete can do. It's ironic because we talk about Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth was just an all-out, you know, sensation. He was viewed as a national hero in all different walks of life, all different aspects. And I think eventually we kind of moved away from that, but now that's not the case at all. Now it's part of being an athlete that you're going to appear more, you know, on, you know, TV shows. You're going to use your platform more, maybe even to speak on political issues. You're going to do all of that and play your sports. So it's really interesting to see how that's all changed over the years again.
Even so, I quite so to that, but the other hot take I forgot to mention is that we have a battle between two teams from Los Angeles, California, battling against each other, the Dodgers and the Angels, even though there used to be another legendary player that you forgot. Jackie Robinson used to play for the Dodgers.
Indeed, back when they were in New York, there for Brooklyn. And speaking of, and obviously, you know, he's a trailblazer of this game, that a trailblazer in this country that, you know, should always be remembered for what he did. Maybe not, you know, and maybe that's not the way that he wanted to be. Rather, he just wanted to be a baseball player. But his story and his perseverance are definitely what helped mold this country. And, you know, with a divided nation, something we can all learn a little bit more about. And we can all take a thing or two from we talk about Los Angeles, though, that is going to be where the All-Star game is going to be at, as well as All-Star Week festivities, Home Run Derby, Futures game, all of that out there in Los Angeles. So hopefully we see a good week. And like I said, hopefully the name of Jackie Robinson and the legend of him cannot just be carried on. It's one thing to wear 42 on Jackie Robinson Day. It's one thing to watch documentaries, but it's another thing to learn from what he had to experience and try to make sure that no one has to experience that ever again.
That is very, very true.
Quite so, even so. But I did get reports from last week's race at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Chase Elliott, the son of Bill Elliott, has just won his home racetrack, Atlanta Motor Speedway, and now the races are going to be at tomorrow's race at New Hampshire Motor Speedway for another battle of another amazing NASCAR Cup race season.
Vroom, vroom, indeed. As they're sort of hitting the home, I don't want to say home stretch, but, you know, critical time of the season. Not the most avid follower of racing, but from knowing those that do, and I know this is a big time, and we're a little less than 2 weeks away, as I understand, from the Brickyard 400, a stone's throw away from our location, relatively speaking, down there in Indianapolis, as they're gearing up for that. And then after that, we basically turn the page to football season, believe it or not. Last night we even had the, I don't know what you call it, you know, the senior high school all-star game for football last night. But then we're going to get set for teams to open up training camp here in just a few weeks.
Even so, but this Brickyard 400 race you just mentioned, it's now going to be a roller course race that I heard they're going to be doing for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but they'll be going to that in about 2 weeks because, Nick, after the race against New Hampshire, they'll be heading to Pocono Raceway.
Yeah, one of the more iconic tracks. And speaking of talking about road tracks, I've heard that they're even trying to look to perhaps get one in Chicago in years to come. It's tentative, but there are reports circulating that they're actually going to try to make a road course in downtown Chicago, which should be interesting. You know, in some of the big, big cities, Chicago, L.A., New York, where traffic is sometimes a bit of a problem, but, you know, not undoable, you know, for sure. But would certainly be interesting to see how that all pans out.
Why'd you want that? Even so, there used to be a racetrack in Chicago that the racers used to race at called Chicagoland Motor Speedway, which was presented by the Geico 500 that they did over there.
Yeah, and don't tell the Chicago Bears that there's another racetrack that they could perhaps buy out and put something over they perhaps don't need. But yeah, that was always a video of a big race there. And something that I know the people in Chicago, people in Northern Illinois would get excited about, Southern Wisconsin as well. And maybe not quite so much anymore, but I think that that would provide a little bit of a new sort of refreshing little vibe, perhaps around racing in that big, big market there in the Chicagoland area.
Even so, that's quite what we all know. But we also got some other competitions that will be happening sooner or later. We still got these horse racing competitions. Even so, we don't know where. Because do you have any idea where they're going to be racing today for this competition?
Well, they won't be racing in Arlington Heights, Illinois, because that, I can't help but beat a dead horse. No pun intended on that one. That land is apparently being sold to a football team who will build an 80,000-seat stadium out there. That team can go nameless, though. But, yeah, I do not know offhand. I know that the Triple Crown races are in the books. Can't still believe, although, you know, I mean, I don't really know much about raising horses or anything like that. Can't really believe that we had a horse after winning the Kentucky Derby sit out because of basically load management, but that's a new one for me. Although it just maybe shows that they're not too dissimilar to a lot of athletes after all. That, you know, obviously, you know, they're living, breathing creatures, and they have to, you know, be respected and treated as such. They're not just capital, not just resources. So yeah, that was a bit interesting, but I don't know too much about today's race.
Even so, about. That's quite what we know, but with all the other competitions that we have coming soon, is we still got the BattleBots playouts for the Battle of the Golden Bolt that is coming next in a few weeks that we know. And we all know whoever the five BattleBots that wins the five Slugfest challenges will advance to the Tournament of Champions and take on our three BattleBots champions, Toonstone, Endgame, and probably last season's BattleBots Giant Knight champion, Tantrum.
Well, I don't know if any anybody here grew up fans of pro wrestling, but you mentioned the Tombstone in it. My you know, like 10-year-old self immediately like hears the gong hit and the lights go out, and then the Undertaker comes out. So you don't want to mess with Tombstone, because everybody knows everybody was a savage until that, you know, until the lights went out and Undertaker starts walking out. Don't mess with Tombstone, I'm telling you now. You're gonna be cool until you do that.
See, in my mind, when you say Tombstone, I think of Tombstone frozen pizza.
Oh, don't get me started. I'm already hungry. There's a long day still ahead. So,
even though we all know that The Undertaker is a legendary SmackDown wrestler who has been doing this stuff for so many years, and he's probably a five-time WWE SmackDown wrestling champion. He is.
Can I even share like one of my greatest like? I don't even know if people consider it sports per se, but I think it largely does fall into that. One of the greatest memories I have is my brother and I, we got to order WrestleMania 24 and stayed up like all night to watch it on replay, you know, watch the pay-per-view back. That was so cool. It's like a 4-hour thing, 3-hour thing, whatever. So cool to watch. You know, that was very, very fun. Never ever went to one of their live shows. But that may be a bucket list thing. But I mean, I have a lot of respect for like what wrestlers do. I mean, that's pretty crazy. You do like a lot of those stunts. It's not like they have like a stunt double or anything, you know. But we all thought as kids like we could do it. Great, that's when we all thought that they were genuinely punching each other, you know, and all that. But I thought I, you know, could prefer time being. But a lot of respect to them. But like I said, you don't mess with The Undertaker. It's
no,
that simple.
Definitely not. You don't mess with The Undertaker. You don't mess with Hercules.
Yeah.
And one thing's for sure is that in BattleBots, people should learn to don't mess with Toonstone or one of the other bots that I saw in season 4, that there's one bot that didn't their mothers ever told them not to do. And that is, don't mess with Texas Twister.
Yeah, basically feeds off of the classic saying, don't mess with Texas, although recently in the sports world, you know, when you look at University of Texas, Dallas Cowboys, and, you know, some of the teams around there, messing with Texas, unfortunately, hasn't really been that bad of an idea for, you know, for some of them, as they've really gone through some down years, especially the Longhorns, who every 5 years are apparently back and then don't come back. And then the Cowboys, who every year somehow are, according to their fans, preseason Super Bowl favorites, and then magically don't win the Super Bowl. So maybe this isn't the sport to mess with Texas.
Yeah, quite so. But I would think probably there are probably some high school football teams in Texas that are probably messing with themselves. But high schools from other states never go there to mess with them.
Yeah, you know, teams like Allen not to mention Southlake Carroll, who's the other one? I think it's Westlake, I believe, just to name a few who have produced, you know, great talent. You know, we got Kyler Murray, it came from Allen. I think Southlake Carroll produced Quinn Ewers, who's now on his way to Texas, who could be competing with Arch Manning, the nephew of Eli and Peyton Manning, for that starting job in a couple of years. So that's certainly going to be interesting to watch, but they produce just a wealth of talent, as does Florida, as does California. Don't sleep now in Nevada and Georgia, who seemingly are creeping up there in recent years, Arizona as well. But a lot of talent that comes from the South and the West Coast.
Even so, but we also got to know, not only we got high school football season happening, but we still got the high school soccer season still that's about to be coming soon, until the year when they're about to do the first day of high school, sooner or later. And we also got reports about that soon we'll be getting the opening season of the return of volleyball season.
Yeah. Well, I can at least speak to the soccer element of that. You know, say congratulations to to John Graham's Homestead Spartans, who are coming off, their girls' team is coming off of a state championship winning season. They're going to have to replace quite a bit of talent, but they benefited from the fact that one of their top players, Amelia Rice, was due to go play for the U.S. Under-20 Women's National Team. However, their World Cup got canceled due to the pandemic, so she came back to play her senior season at Homestead, and well, fruitful decision as she winds up winning a state championship before graduation. Now we'll see if they can build on that. We'll see if, you know, some of the other regional boys teams, you know, if Snyder, if Northrop, if maybe a Bishop Dwenger can build off of some promising seasons to perhaps do something there. And then, of course, the state's always renowned for, you know, at least our area, for producing several great volleyball athletes. And we'll see if perhaps any of them can take the initiative and be in the ascendancy to win a state championship this season down at Ball State.
Even so, because we are down, because we know that John Grant High School Homestead soccer team have recently destroyed the legendary high school team, the one and only Carmel Grants, the top attorney legendary high school team on campus that they destroyed.
Yeah, that, I mean, it was a close game. It was a tight game for them to fight through, but for them to take down Carmel was certainly a feather in their cap kind of moment. Very, very impressive season that they had. I had the chance actually to speak with their coach for a project I was doing not too long ago. He was very, very proud of what they were, of what they accomplished. And now it's up to that next group to see if they can perhaps build on that. They're going to lose a couple of very talented players to the collegiate ranks. Rice, as I mentioned, is going to Penn State. So now it's a matter of, can they build on that going to the next, going into next season in 2022? It's sort of the challenge of high school athletics. You don't even have red shirt years. You don't have the COVID year. You have 4 years at most with players. And then after that, you have to continue to replace them. It's sort of a continuous carousel. Can the next group that comes around be as good, even better than the first? Time will tell.
Even so, because we, with the high school volleyball season we had last season, if I remember correctly, it comes in the 3A, we had last season 3A volleyball state champions was the Brevard Jesuit Preparatory Braves, who destroyed Jennifer Bradmill, the daughter of Eileen Freeby, the Belmont, came so close to win their volleyball state championship against, by a split decision against the Brevard Jesuit Preparatory Braves.
Yeah, and Upper Buff is certainly produces a lot of talented athletes, a lot of talented teams. They had a football team go to state this past season. Very, very good program there in the Indianapolis area. Hopefully Belmont can come or go one step further than what they did this season. And the good news is, when you come that close and you don't get there, for those players that come back, it gives them all the motivation they need to push through the summer part of the season, which for those that did fall sports or that did band know that the summer part is very, very difficult to get through. But they have all the motivation that they need, I'm sure.
Because last season's 1A volleyball state champs we had was between the Trinity Lutheran Cougars and the Lafayette Central Catholic Knights. And I would think last season was the Lafayette Central Catholic Knights who just won themselves three state championships now.
Yeah, down there in Boilermaker area, they're at Lafayette Central Catholic. They have a very renowned athletics program, more so in the smaller divisions of the IHSAA, but certainly a very talented school. They're a very talented program, and congratulations to them. Let's see now if they can perhaps build on this going into next year.
Even so, but I'm looking at for Belmont. They recently won the state championship two times, but then came back after losing to the Browntown Central Braids, and then the second Braids team, Brevard Jesuit, who just won the state now six times now.
Well, it's like we talk about, you know, it's tough to build a dynasty, I think, in high school athletics, because that, you know, you're always going to be losing players and you're always going to lose talented players. It's not like you go pro where you can just re-sign them or you can work out trades to open up space on your roster and cap space. You just know you're going to lose players, so you can't compete forever. You have to keep building that new wave of talent. And certainly they've shown that they have the ability to do that there.
Even so, because for the 4A that I got here, the win, it was a battle between the Mavericks and the Castle Knights. And, well, Castle Knights, I don't know if they have ever won a state championship before or became runners-up in here, but the team that got it from last season was the Mavericks, who got it for the first time in their history.
Well, something about being a Maverick this past season certainly was good. So we talked a little bit about NBA a little bit earlier, or at least about Texas a little bit earlier. The Dallas Mavericks had an outstanding season, one that included them beating the Suns so bad in Game 7 that the team issued a formal apology to their fans, something I don't recall ever having seen before. But, yeah, it was a good time to be a Maverick, it seems.
Even so, because the biggest team we know who has not yet won a volleyball state championship for high school football would probably remain, I would say, probably the Wounded Warriors, and probably, well, I don't know if Homestead has ever won a volleyball state championship before. If they have, that is.
I don't know either offhand. It wouldn't surprise me if they have. There's obviously there's a very good athletic pedigree there, as well as throughout the city of Fort Wayne. And if not, hey, there's never a bad time to start something new, right?
Quite so. Point taken, I mean. Because even though there's also been some other teams, like I got here, the Concordia Cadets, they have won the state championship in the 3A since the year 2014. And then the team that they beat, it was the Northview Knights that they destroyed.
Yeah, it was certainly, I'm sure, a big accomplishment for those off of Anthony Boulevard here in Fort Wayne. Small school, but certainly one that still does have a good tradition there, usually in the middle of the class ranks for Indiana High School athletics. So congratulations to the Cadets of Concordia Lutheran.
Even so, Concordia Lutheran, they not only got that, but they did also manage to win the high school football state championship and the boys cross country state championship that they won for the first time.
Yeah, and a big congratulations to them on that one as well. Big things for the Cadets, it seems.
Because it's just more surprises from them. Just keeps coming and going, I would say. But for other teams I got here, because Concordia is not only who won the state championship for volleyball here, but Bishop Twanger Saints also did after they destroyed the Brevard Jesuit Preparatory Braves. But thing is, Bishop Twanger, they never won the volleyball state championship. Never. But now they did for the first time in their life.
Well, like I said, you know, there's always a first time for everything. And I can tell you, like, when you're coming off of a drought or you've never done something before, the motivation's always there to want to be the first or to want to be the one to end that. You don't want to be always clumped in with that. So I'm sure they put in the work and the time and that they set that goal. So congratulations to them.
Yep. And it looks like here the other team here in Fort Wayne who also recently won the state championship would be my cousins, Gavin and Mariah Francis' team, the Blackhawk Christian Braves, who won it two times. And the other one is Snyder Panthers, who also won it just both two times as well. But that was during the year, just way back, but the year when my dad was around.
Well, yeah, and so hopefully they'll be looking to perhaps build on that and get back to that level this season.
Because we all know it's never too late for Snyder to make one huge comeback, hoping to win three state championships for volleyball this season if they could get their hands on getting back to the state and show the world that it's never too late for this Fort Wayne team, Snyder, to make a comeback.
Yeah, indeed. So we'll see if they can pull that off. We're not too far away from my school sports season, so hopefully I've heard yesterday about 35, now be 34 days until opening kickoff of high school football on August the 19th. We are just over a month away.
But I did also heard I also got reports we recently have four teams who will have a scrimmage game, but the rest of them are probably going to take a head start on their regular season, like John Grant's high school team has a home game against those nasty team of all, the Snyder Panthers.
What's nasty about Snyder?
I don't know for them, because to them, I mean, cats. Why it had to be cats?
I'll just put my Snyder diploma away for a little bit with that one. But yeah, Snyder. Usually it is Homestead. Usually it's their opponent. I think a lot of schools are opting to have August 12th off as sort of a rest night. Maybe they'll have a practice, maybe a scrimmage with their own squad that night or something to that effect. But I do think there's a lot of good that can come out of that, because oftentimes you see in the NFL in preseason, while they don't take preseason as seriously anymore in terms of starters. The starters play in high school scrimmages. Not the whole, you know, what you would normally see because you don't want to get anybody hurt, but they play and they get themselves ready. It's a dress rehearsal. And those that haven't been out, I know when the scrimmage is at Snyder, they don't typically play at Spooler Stadium. They usually play at Bowser Field there on the Snyder campus, which is usually the Snyder JV stadium. They usually take it very seriously, though. Those teams that do play, usually they'll wear their practice uniforms, but other than that, it's a legitimate dress rehearsal. It's almost like what the third preseason game in the NFL used to be, where your starters would go the majority of the way, and you would treat it like it's a regular season game, and it's a good tune-up, and especially against a conference opponent as well.
Even so, because right now, Adam Satchel, they will also be starting their first home game against a team from all the way from Albine, Indiana, the Central Noble Cougars, that the Warriors are going to be playing against for week two of their football regular season.
Yeah, and again, I personally am in favor of having a scrimmage. I think it's very advantageous, and it gets players who maybe haven't played in a varsity game a little bit of their feet wet, because you're going to have guys that have been on JV for how much of their time that are going to be expected to play big roles this season and perhaps right off the bat. So it's a sort of controlled environment, but at the varsity level. So I think it's good.
Even so, as we all know, for Concordia's football team, their first game is going to be an away game as they'll get ready. They'll be hanged down to downtown Fort Wayne as they'll square off against the Southside Archers that they're going to take on.
Well, Southside is a program that I think is going to take a couple steps forward here in the not-too-distant future. Their new coach, Coach Lee, has done a really good job and has certainly gotten a lot of buy-in from his players. I'd keep an eye out for Southside in the years to come, and for Wayne as well. Second year and a new coach, they showed a lot of promise last year. It takes a little bit of time, and the frustrating thing is, again, you're going to lose key players because you only get 4 years with them. But I like what Southside's putting together. I really think that there's a lot to be optimistic about for a program that has historically struggled.
And you know, and not only that, but I really am looking forward to seeing the camaraderie of all the high school teams in favor of the former Carroll quarterback Owen.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I'd hope that the SAC at least, and maybe even the IHSAA as a whole, that they do something to honor him, you know, week one, at least a moment of silence. I'm sure that Carroll will do something throughout the season. Hopefully other schools can, at least if nothing else for week one, follow suit. And I'm sure there'll be, you know, tributes that come as each SAC team, at least for one more season, winds up playing Carroll. But of course, in 2023, I believe, that won't be the case. But hopefully everybody can do something, even if it's just week one, or even if it's throughout the season, whatever. He was a very, very admirable young man from all of the accounts of those who knew him personally. So hopefully the tributes to him can be fitting.
Yeah. Even so, when you said about the Wayne and Generals new head coach, I think you're talking about, you mean Sherwood Haydock, who used to be the original head coach for the Wounded Warriors that he used to coach for 8 years he has been, and now he's being the Wayne Generals new head coach. So now, because the question is, will he get the Wayne Generals back to the state championship for their second state title that they won the first time years ago that they did?
This year, no, because again, I think it still takes a little bit of time. I think you can, in some cases, be successful faster in the cycle in high school football than you can in college. But at the same time, it does take a little bit more time because you can't recruit if you're a public school like Wayne. But he impressed, I think, a lot of people. And they were in a lot of games this year. And of course, as a coach, as a Wayne player, there are all sorts of things to be irritated about going into the off season, about how they ended their year last year against Mississinewa. They lost handily. John and I were in studio when reports started coming out about an altercation And we watched the video. It was an ugly, ugly scene, a benches clearing brawl. All kinds of people from both sides were involved. It doesn't matter who started it, but that's not the way you want to end your season. I'm sure for Wayne, they're looking at the positives. They're looking at the way that they played this season, as well as how that season ended. Now saying, what's the next step for this program? And I'd have to think it's, could they win a sectional championship? You know, they don't have to deal with Snyder. They don't have to deal with Bishop Dwenger in their sectional. They don't have to deal with Homestead or Carroll. They don't have to deal with those teams. I'd have to think a sectional is doable for them.
Yeah. What, so, oh, even though, but for Woodland, they will still take on Eastside. And, well, Jay County Patriots, they have an away game. Is they're going to take on the some unknown challengers, the Blackford Bruins.
Yeah, a team a little bit outside of the Fort Wayne area, but then again, you said it was Jay County, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I know they're more or less on the fringes of our area as well, so I believe that may be a conference game for them, or at least a relatively local opponent for them, but we'll see if Jay County can perhaps put something together this season. I know that they didn't have a terrific season last year, as I understand it. But we'll see if they can perhaps build on something here and take a step forward in 2K22.
I'm quite pointing it to that. But to that, the Warren Central Warriors, they also have an away game, as they're one of the biggest conference high school football teams. And I heard they're going to take on last season's four-time high school football state champions, the Center Grove Trojans. But let's see if they'll still come back undefeated again for a chance to win five state titles this season.
Well, for Center Grove, the challenge is going to be, again, we talked about that never-ending cycle. They had a dominant senior class, but the unfortunate thing about that is you can raise those players, you can have them grow together, but unfortunately, if that's the case, that means they all do what? Graduate together. So now it's a matter of, can you get players that maybe haven't played a lot on varsity that are now seniors and juniors, can you get them up to speed? Warren Central, I think, has attracted a lot of interest. A lot of people are looking at them this year down in the Indianapolis area, but I'd also throw another name into the mix. Don't overlook the Carmel Greyhounds. They have a lot of pieces coming back this year off a team that was right around 500 last year. I don't know if they can win the MIC conference down there, the Metro Indianapolis conference, but if they can perhaps take that next step with players that played a lot and have more eligibility left, they could be a sleeper team, not just in the MIC, but also in Class 6A. But certainly I would think Warren Central sounds like the odds-on favorite there. I'd look for Center Grove to take not a substantial leap back, but at least a step back this season.
Because when you mentioned about those Carmel Greyhounds, even though they are one of the top returning high school football teams on campus, Carmel Greyhounds may be one of the are probably one of the most toughest teams in all of Indiana that I don't think Adams Central may have the power to stop them.
I don't think so either. Adams Central, I'll tell you what, Adams Central can run the ball with anybody. The Flying Jets, I love that name, the Flying Jets. They're probably better than the actual New York Jets, to be fair, at football. They can run the ball with any team. And if they can establish that run, 3, 4 yards, 5 yards a pop, they're going to get first downs, and they're going to wear down defenses, and they're going to win games that way because they're going to keep your offense on the sideline. Carmel has playmakers over there. Desmond Duffy is a player to watch out for. I've had the chance to scout him a little bit. Very, very good wide receiver who has attracted some interest throughout the state. You can keep them on the sideline. That's going to be Adams Central's most likely path to winning. And that's how they're going to win every game that they win. And then they've built quite the program out there. But I just think that, is that game in Carmel or is it in is that at Adams Central?
Well, Adams Central is going to be taking on the coveted Christian Warriors, and they're going to be doing it at Taylor University. I heard they're going to do it again.
I see. Okay. But yeah, but to get back on track, I think Carmel takes a big step forward, and now whether or not they take the leap to being perhaps the class of 6A remains to be seen, but the potential is there for Carmel, and they've been a team that's definitely attracted my eye throughout the offseason.
Even so, because even though, sure, with Haydock, he used to be playing for the coaching for the Warriors for years, even so, that he's been getting them moving up to the next level, take on bigger high schools, tougher teams like the Lima Central Catholic Thunderbirds, or even and when he moved on to being for Wayne, they were taking on the South Bend Eagles a few years back, but I knew that Woodland is not ready to take on a team like them with a new head coach that they recently have.
But the thing is, there used to be a coach for the U.S. men's soccer team who had a theory. He used to go out and for friendly schedule big opponents that the U.S. was not as good at, and people questioned him for it. And he basically said, there's a method to my madness here, which is that you can schedule games against teams that are not very good and beat them and be lulled into a false sense of security. But you get better when you go into the deep end of the pool, so to speak, where your feet maybe don't touch. You're playing against top-tier opposition. And now how do you stack up? I'd rather have even if it means, especially if we're rebuilding, even if it means we lose all of our non-conference games, I'd rather us go up against better opposition because it gives us more of an accurate measuring stick for where we are. If I'm a college football team that's maybe, you know, a struggling FBS team, I don't want to just schedule FCS teams. I want us to have at least one or two games against good Power 5 teams so that way we can see where we need to go. And I think it extends to high school as well. Don't just schedule teams that you know 100% you're going to beat. Schedule against teams that are legitimate competition for you, and you're going to get better that way because you're going to learn how to stack up against good players.
Yeah. Even so, with Carmel taking on some bigger teams like Trinity, I heard they're going to take on, but they will also still be taking on their other Metro teams that you mentioned, like the Ben Davis Giants will probably be one of them, even those Lawrence North Wildcats.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of noise surrounding Lawrence North as well. Ben Davis, which was the host last night to the IFCA All-Star Game, they are always a tough out. They have a couple players that have certainly attracted a lot of interest, but I'd have to think it's either going to boil. I think it's Warren Central's conference to lose, is the way I look at it. But it's a wide open conference this year because there's just no team that's just head and shoulders above everybody, like Center Grove was. And another team to watch out for, I think, when it comes to independent, is how quickly can Indianapolis Cathedral rebuild? Or I shouldn't say rebuild, because they reload. That program just does it year in and year out. But how quickly can they replace graduating seniors, and could they run it back in 5A?
Quite so. But according to Carmel's schedule, I got here, their first game will be against the Trinity Shamrocks, that they're probably from Kentucky somewhere, and the other. They're also going to take on just a team from all the way from Detroit, Michigan, Kaztek Technikens, I heard they're called.
Well, yeah, we'll certainly be a lot to watch for, but I can't wait for this high school football season, that's for sure.
Same here. All right, true words, Matthew. So, next Saturday, I will be gone. So, we're going to tentatively plan on doing our first live sports chat on the Spectrum 239 Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock p.m. So that's when you normally would hear us recorded. And obviously when we can podcast it, we podcast it on Saturdays. But again, tentatively, we are going to plan on doing our first live broadcast in here in the studio next Sunday at 1 o'clock p.m. So we hope that you'll catch us. And again, that's July the 24th, I want to say. There's also a Tin Caps game going on, so maybe Jake can give us some live sports update. We're throwing it back to the, you know, to the liveness of it. So for Matthew Kleinenberger, Jacob Brettmiller, I'm your producer, John Graham. We'll see you next time.